This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
Gene Johnson. AfterBuzz TV. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show.
It's Fernando. This is the Doody Doot song. What is this song called?
It's called the Doody Doot song.
It's called the Doodle. What's called the Doodle song, right? Marissa, what's the song called? Do we know?
It's called Dairy Doop Doody Doot.
It really is called the Doody Doot song.
I don't know. There it is. This is the song that was played in this episode of The Blacklist, episode 12, The Alchemist. Nando Velasquez, who is not here, had one request on his deathbed, which is that we play this for this episode. So, Nando's not dead. He's alive. He's just not
Nando's
here.
Nando's not dead.
But we're here. We're doing the episode 12 of The Blacklist. I'm back in town here in person, but along with Julia Kearley. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
I'm Joe Braswell. But we are this time on the line joined by Joe Braswell. That's me.
You're Joe Braswell.
Joe Sanfilippo.
There he is.
What's up, everybody?
Hi,
How
Flippo.
You doing, man?
Don't put me on my deathbed, man. What if Nando dies tonight? How shitty are you going to feel?
I will feel very shitty.
You will feel so bad.
But he's not going to die tonight. You know, he's alive and well. Nando Velasquez is cannot make today's show, but he will be back next week with hot insight and tons of hot Nando takes. But in the meantime, the three of us will hold it down and talk about The Blacklist, episode 12, The Alchemist.
Number 101.
Oh, he's number 101.
He's number 101.
Oh, okay. Got it. I'm a little confused there. Blacklist number 101, The Alchemist. General impressions. Let's start with you, Julia. What do you think? You weren't that thrilled with this episode.
Not my favorite episode.
Okay.
I did enjoy it in that I come out victorious with my predictions.
Which one?
About who the mole was.
Oh, yeah.
It's very rare that A, I have a prediction, and that B, it actually comes to fruition. Yes, I did.
I thought I had that one.
Hell no. You weren't even here last week. I called her a sneaky bitch.
But that's true. I missed that. But I swear, didn't I have that like in week two? Check the logs. I'm kidding. I don't know. I have no idea.
Sneaky hold on. I'm going to go check the logs.
Yeah, all right. Flip on, you're on that. Anyways, aside from me being victorious, which is a very selfish show.
Guacamole.
Very selfish way for me to enjoy an episode. Again, not my favorite episode. Interesting blacklister. I don't know. I am no doctor, but it seems a little far-fetched.
Dude.
But I'm no doctor.
Even Red didn't know how he did it. So
even
relax.
Red. If Red doesn't know how to do it, it really can't
and
be
frankly,
done. Not in real
life.
That's
why they call it that's why he's called the Alchemist, because what he's doing is a bit of alchemy. Like it's sort
of
this mystery.
It's an interesting character, much like the character that they created where I forget what he was called, but he'd cut himself and hide things inside his own body because he couldn't feel pain. The Courier.
Yes.
So he's kind of an interesting one in that. I like that he had definite backstory and personality, which was interesting. I don't know. It just wasn't my favorite.
I kind of like when they take on these sort of like super villainy traits. You know, these blacklisters are kind of, you know, for a comic
book nerd. I view him as a super villainy guy.
Right. Well, I mean, no, he's an alchemist. He does mysterious mix of magic and science to create.
Turning lead into gold and changing DNA at will.
That's right.
At will.
He's got a special thing. He can do it. Suspension of disbelief is what we want.
Well, okay, fine, okay. Fine. My belief is suspended.
All right, Joe Flippo, what did you think of The Alchemist?
I hated that guy. I want to like the villain a little bit, or like care a little bit about him.
Right.
I hated him, and I wanted him to die, and when that little girl was dead in place of his daughter at the end, I was bummed. You know, like.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like, there's times when you're like, okay, I get it. And there's other times where it's like, dude, just start shooting the people close to these people because other people are going to die for no good reason. I didn't dislike this episode. I strongly disagree with you, Julia Kelly.
Okay.
I didn't say I disliked it. I just said it wasn't my favorite.
I'm pretty sure you said you hated it.
I.
That's what I heard.
Is that what you heard?
I got to check the logs.
Yeah, what I heard was I would light it on fire if it would burn. Yeah. I don't know why. It seems strong. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
All
right. I'm probably in the middle. I enjoy the episode. I always enjoy these episodes. I think it was probably just felt like a middle episode. It felt like a little bit of a place filler in the grand scheme of things. When we look at all 22 episodes, we won't look back to episode 12 as the one that changed it all.
Yeah.
And as I was telling you, I was telling Julie off mic, Joe, that like, you know, we're used to, you know, I don't know, we're kind of conditioned in this post-golden age of television, or golden age of television, for every episode to be an event episode. Like, there's no wasted episodes of Game of Thrones. It's like, every episode is like, it's an event. But they can do that when you have, like, 13 episodes or 8 episodes. When you got 22, you know, I don't know, you got some fillers in there. And stuff happened. And you still got James Spader doing stuff. And it still advances the story, so I was cool.
Well, let me toss this out here, just to be argumentative. I would argue that this is not a wasted episode because... We have a return to baby time. We have a return to this thing I think we'd all kind of forgotten, that, oh crap, they're adopting a kid.
Right.
And is this a good idea?
You know,
is it a good idea for Lizzie and her husband to adopt a child? You know, and I think given all the stuff that's gone on, I don't know about the rest of the universe, but I had almost completely forgotten that they were considering adopting.
You know, it's not a good idea, Joe.
Lined up.
No, it's not a good idea. And you'll agree with me, having been through a few of these, co-ed baby showers. Like, those things, I'm out.
Could not agree more.
I'm out on those. Like, the dudes with the diapers. No!
I hate baby showers, and I'm a chick.
You know, baby showers are great.
I hate them.
Co-ed baby showers. Anyway, I digress. Joe, you're right. You're right.
I actually felt, you know, I agree with you, but I felt like, oh, yeah, baby, really? Is this still happening? Were we really still dealing with that? Sure. Like, I figured that was on the back burner.
Right.
But then I guess they do have the neighbor who is very pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about this, whenever it's appropriate. I don't know what the itinerary is for the show, but I do want to spend a few minutes on that because I do think it's very much a big deal.
The baby.
The baby.
Yeah. Well, we can get to that. I mean, we can get to all of it, actually. Why not?
Yeah.
We have time to get to everything.
Yeah.
So... Well, and we did learn some stuff. We got an introduction of Jolene, the seductress, you know, who has a giant file on
our boy Tom.
On Tom Keene, who is also, Julia reminded me, and I missed this, I don't know how I did, is that's the woman from the VICAP.
She's the one that Red worked so hard to get that number to get into the VICAP system to look her up specifically.
Yeah, so there's some connection there, I'll get to some predictions there in a second. We also learned that I was right all along about the mole.
I swear to God. I'm going on record as saying I haven't trusted her from the second she walked onto that screen.
What is
she doing there?
All on YouTube and Twitter, and we've all talked about it. all of our listeners, and we've all talked about this. Like, you know, she's this British CIA agent. Doesn't seem to make sense. Something's off. Why is she there? Why is she still there? I don't know.
Why are you working other cases as well? Like, what are you doing?
I don't understand what's happening there, but we have our guacamole. are.
Stop calling it guacamole.
Mole Cyrus.
You're going to make that work one way or the other.
I'll do this all day.
I just don't like.
Mole Cyrus. How about that one? Oh, wait. This one. Wait. Molly Ringwald from Pretty in Pink.
Oh, no.
I can do this all day long. Like Lionel Richie, pal. All day long. who means gamole puns? Yeah, nothing. I don't pop Molly. I rock Tom Ford. Get it? All right. I'm
done. Oh, no.
Still going. He really is on a roll, guys.
I've got like 13 written down.
I'm looking at you across the table, and I can see the wheels that turn. You have them written down.
No, I don't really have them written down. I'm just kidding. Okay, so we have a mole, apparently.
Yes, yes.
That's what I hear.
It's the truth.
Yeah, Joe, what do you think of that? What do you think of that revelation?
Well, I believe Julia called it several weeks ago.
Oh, thank you, Joe Sanfilippo.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe you called her a sneaky bitch. I'm fairly certain that she called it way before you did, Joe. I don't think you had anything to do with it.
All right.
But
CTL baby,
check the logs. Not surprised, and you know, red rolled right over there. He didn't even take the time to say goodbye and give Lizzie some sort of a creepy reason to wish he was talking to him longer. He's like, I'm out. I gotta go.
Yeah.
I got stuff to deal with.
Yeah,
we copped it.
And he was very serious. I mean, I guess you know he's gonna go kill somebody. He's no quips, nothing. He's just like, great, give me the list. I gotta go. Gotta go kill somebody.
I do like that he took matters into his own hands. You know, he left last week saying, my house is clean, mm-hmm. yours isn't.
Right.
And the FBI seems to think that they seem to have just dropped it.
Right.
You know, they cleared everybody. Everybody's fine. Well, no worries. There's no mole internally. So he gets his own operation up and running. And he gets to the bottom of it because the FBI isn't going to do shit.
Well, there was that weird red herring, like either this episode or the last, I can't remember, where Harold, you know, goes to her immediately and she's like, well, you're cleared.
You're the only one.
You're the only one who's cleared. I'm like, she's the mole.
No question.
I'm like, yeah. No question. The second that left his lips.
No, well, he's such a clown in this show. I'm sorry. I know it's terrible. But like, if he says up his, he says the sky's, I'm like, nah, fuck it, the sky flips, man. Everybody pay attention. The whole thing flips.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah. Like, you're the only one I can trust. You let me give you all the top secret information. You're the only one.
Damn it, Nairobi.
Nairobi. No, yeah, I got it. So, so she's a mole. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
So we learned that. We also, what's going on with Wrestler's Boo? Wrestler's Girl? Like, I never trusted her ass. And she's, like, creeping around. Like, is she, what?
Well, Wrestler was interesting this week. We got a whole new side of Wrestler, a softer mm-hmm. side of Sears, if you will. I won't sing it this time.
No, don't.
I usually do, but I won't. Okay. I won't. I'm thinking when it comes to Wrestler, I mean, Wrestler is, he's opening up. He's talking about it. He's getting advice from Lizzie. What should I do? She's texting me. She's texting me again. I'm going to text her back. She won't stop. Like,
yeah.
Wrestler got a little girly on us.
He caught some feelings.
But he did catch some feelings. And I'm thinking maybe this stems from when he was locked in the big glass box with Red for so long. And Red had that long monologue about, you know, all the places you need to see and things to do. And I think it got to him a little bit. I think he's perhaps turned over something of a new leaf.
Sure. I mean, he's come a long way from that sort of angry, you know, one note, I hate everything guy.
Which was a big gripe we had with him in the first few episodes.
Sure.
It's like, give me something more. Now we're getting it.
Right. Joe, what do you think of Wrestler?
Yeah, I agree. It was interesting to see him actually human being. I enjoyed that. I automatically don't like his ex-girlfriend. I don't know why, but I think it's this... it's a thing that we seem to be doing with this show. I think it's kind of interesting. I wrote down like 6 to 7 honeypot. Like, these are two girls that I don't trust. You know, we got Jolene and we got Wrestler's ex.
Right.
And neither of them are hot. They're both 6s or 7s.
All right.
And
so take it easy, Joe. This is commentary we're not asking for right now. Wait, this is relevant.
And so I'm not taking his move seriously. I don't know if that makes any sense. I lose you?
Yes. Here's like Joe's in depth in the office. Okay, first of all, none of them are hot. They're 6s and 7s, which right away I don't trust them. Second of all, do you see that dress she was wearing? I mean, come on.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't trust her as a character.
Right.
Because she's not hot enough?
Because she's not hot enough.
It's an interesting choice they're making. I don't think we're supposed to trust her. Do you feel we're supposed to trust her?
Well, so if she were some hot femme fatale,
but Xanatacos like, was super hot. Did you trust her?
What's that?
Xanatacos was super duper hot. Did you trust her?
Oh, Xanatacos? Yeah, I didn't trust Xanatacos, but I don't think we're supposed to trust these girls. I'm saying it's interesting casting.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
It's interesting casting that didn't cast a hotter girl or two girls.
Yeah, like Jolene, you would see her coming if she was like crazy hot. You'd be like, oh, I get it. But she's not. She's kind of like an under the radar hot, which I think is interesting casting. I think the same thing with wrestlers. Ex-girlfriend. I think we're kind of meant to be slightly distrustful of them, but we're not sure why.
Okay. Well, I actually do agree with what you're saying a little bit, except for your analysis of what they look like or don't look like. But I will say that Jolene, man, she's interesting. She was really laying it on thick with the seducing mode, right?
She's pretty charming.
From the second she popped out of the bathroom and was like doing all the, you know, like, okay, well, she called him something like, she's flirting with him, okay, genius or whatever she called him. I don't know.
Yeah, she's just a random, to him, she's just a random substitute teacher. And what an FBI agent. We'll get to that.
Sure.
Never question why she's all alone in the bedroom, in their bathroom.
For a long time.
No one says to her, hey, what are you doing here?
And she gives the whole thing of like, well, I wasn't like going through your medicine cabinet and I hate small spaces, but this was weird. Hi.
Yeah, it's weird that you're in this room in the first place.
Yeah. And as soon as, Lizzie leaves, she's like, huh, she's got to go again, huh?
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
She's pretty quippy.
I don't know anything about women. I don't know. I don't know how they work. But, you know, and I don't have much experience in this area. But I do know, stop laughing. I do know that at the end at the old art gallery, she gave him a couple of looks that,
those were some come hither looks.
There were a few looks. I don't know what those looks look like, but Joan may know. But there were some strong looks there. And I think that she's really laying it on.
Yeah.
For a not so hot girl,
your undeniable chastity, your world famous chastity. The Joe,
all right.
You know, Joe spent the better part of 15 years in a monastery.
I did.
It's a miracle he knows how to talk to women at all.
No.
But that was definitely some come hither looking over that gin and tonic, whatever she was drinking. That was pretty serious.
Yeah, it was. She's all but like rattled the glass. You know, it was like anyway. What do we think is going to happen with that? I mean, do we think that she's going to be successful in seducing Tom? And a couple of questions here, just open questions, because we're opening with Jolene, which is weird, but it's fine. But do we think that she's going to be successful in seducing Tom and getting close to Tom in order to play out her sinister, you know, thing of watching him or whatever she's supposed to be doing? Who do we think sent her? Is it Red? Is it someone else? I mean, this is so weird because at one point we're like, well, Tom is a bad guy. Well, Red said, watch your husband. We don't trust him. So we assume Tom's a bad guy or an assassin or something. He's at the field box in the house and then Red said, don't trust him. And then the Apple guy's watching him and then the Apple guy's gone. And now it's like this other person is there to watch Tom. So, like, is Tom what the hell's going on?
Okay, well, Red did not send her. Because Red was looking for her.
Okay.
And she has quite a compilation of a file, right?
Right.
So she's been on this case for a while. She's been researching for a while.
Well, no.
I'm wondering if...
Hold on.
Okay.
The file was given to her. Because I actually paused, you know, did a little on HD pause on that, on the sheet. And the sheet was a breakdown of, it's like subject, you know, Tom Keen, occupation, school teacher, blah, 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 blah. And it's like assets you've been delivered. It's like surveillance and pictures and blah, blah, blah. So it felt like she was given this file and she was looking at it. And then someone else gave her the Tom Keen info. Like that's what I got from the file that I read and I paused.
Okay. Well, I still, with that information, I still know deep in my soul that she does not come from Red. I know this.
Okay. Sure. If you know it. Okay.
You could put that in the log.
Right.
But I think perhaps she could come from Apple Guy because nobody knows who Apple Guy is still.
True.
Apple Guy is a mystery to Red. He's a mystery to the FBI. He's a mystery to Tom. Nobody knows. He's a mystery to us. We haven't seen him yet.
Right.
So maybe Apple Guy.
Right.
Because Apple Guy was watching, wasn't he watching Red as well? He's watching everybody, right?
I don't know. Joe, do you remember if he's watching Red? I don't think...
I think he was.
Not that we see, but I think it's talked about.
Okay.
Let me say this deep in my soul. I can't be sure that she hasn't come from Red, because she's got an awful lot of information on him, and it would definitely serve Red's purpose if Lizzie and Tom were done. And you know, I think this is maybe a good time to bring it up. I mean, this episode kind of brought some stuff into reality that I think, you know, we've kind of, you know, the show, because the stakes are so high every episode, and because, you know, every episode something, you know, either national security or X number of people are going to die. So we kind of forget that these are real people,
right,
leading real lives. That's the idea here. So when this episode, I think, was, this is why I do think it's a worthwhile episode and not one of those, you know, one of the famous forgotten, is we really do bring back, hey, they are actively adopting a kid. They're not talking about adopting.
Yeah.
There is a pregnant woman
about
who
to
is
give birth.
6 weeks away from delivering, and that kid is going to Lizzie and Tom. Now,
or maybe
I'm a
to
parent.
Tom. Lizzie's very much like, meh. Maybe I'll see the kid, maybe I won't.
Yeah. So blasé about it.
Right?
Like, right? What, 6 weeks? Is that here already?
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Geez.
Should we get a crib or something?
I don't know.
Some clothes?
I mean, Tom, you got this, right? I got to go.
You can do this.
I got a blacklist to read.
Yeah.
The
FBI needs
point.
Me.
So
weird.
So, I mean, not for anything here, should these people be having a child?
The answer is no.
Yeah.
Lizzie should not be having a child.
When did this turn into Maury Povich? Is this
right?
The father?
Yes. You are not the father. Told you.
Throwing chairs,
anyway,
flipping
stupid.
Tables.
Too happy.
Guys, anybody ever calls you to go on that show, you just don't go.
Okay. Always too happy always too happy to be not the father. Too happy.
Right?
I told you. Anyway, we're super digressy. Go ahead, Joe. You're making a point.
But I mean, really, should Lizzie and Tom have a kid? And I kind of, you know, that one lady's kind of shot in that crazy style. You know, like she's like, no, the first. What are you not taking any time off? What are you kidding? The baby needs to bond with the mother. Why are you crazy?
Yeah.
And you know, I think that the way that was kind of presented was kind of like, oh, come on, back up, lady. But I, you know, it may not be the most popular thing to say, but I think that's legit. You need to take time to have a kid. You can't just,
of course.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have a kid. I'm gonna keep working 15 hours a day. It's cool.
Well,
you know,
I don't think the show was taking the point of view to anything to the contrary. I think the show was taking a point of view that, yeah, that's exactly what you need to do, which is why they wrote that character in there being like, what do you mean? You're crazy. And Tom's like, yeah, what do you mean? And it's just to sort of to highlight where Lizzie is in this whole process, which is like, she's kind of out.
She's
the baby.
Checked out.
She's checked out on the whole baby operation. And so, so there's no real argument to be made about that, I don't think. I mean, you know. I don't think anyone, you know, will follow us on Twitter and be like, actually, you don't need to be with the baby until they're three. But, you know, but I think that, actually, Joe, you're wrong. But I think that was there. That was a device there to let us know, the audience know, that Lizzie is definitely not on board.
She is not quite fit to be a mother at this particular moment in time.
Do we think that this is a plot point that will continue? I mean, their whole lives are so, like, nothing's off limits here. Like, you know, I don't know if Tom is real. I know what Tom's deal is. And then someone's watching Tom now. And Lizzie, like, Red's, you know, niece or daughter or whatever? Like, who's Red? Like, I don't know what's real. So now there's this baby. Of course, it's not her baby, but it's a baby that'll be brought into the situation by a surrogate. Like, I don't trust anything. Like, you know, maybe the baby's a spy. No, I'm kidding. that's episode 15.
Spying from the womb?
No, it's like number 37,
the baby.
Blacklister number 37, the baby.
Baby mole.
Baby mole.
Mole.
No, I don't know. I don't trust anything. But anyway, do we think that this baby plot line is there to, are they just wrapping it up and kind of getting rid of it? Or is this something that we think that'll be, is central to what's going to happen here with this?
Well, let me ask you this. Now, if you're Tom, now this is all presuming that Tom is real, right? But
right.
if we go back many episodes to our Dawson Creek days,
sure.
If we assume Tom is exactly how he presents himself, and he's not a spy, and he's not on anybody's payroll, and he is the real deal.
He's so goddamn so earnest.
What's that?
He's so damn earnest, this Tom.
Right? So yeah. if we accept that Tom is legitimately who he says he is, just a real live teacher who went to Lincoln, Nebraska to try and apply for a job teaching in Lincoln, Nebraska, but he didn't because he thought of all the horrible things we do to his wife. So if that's all legit, then I don't know. Do we blame Tom for the position he's in right now with Jolie? I mean, where does this conceivably end? I mean, if you're adopting a baby with a woman, right? Because you guys can't have kids together, and you've made a decision to bring a baby into your life 6 weeks before the baby is to be delivered. The woman you've chosen to spend the rest of your life with and adopt this baby and take care of with is clearly completely and totally checked out. Right. Like there is zero interest in this kid happening. So, at what point do you kind of look up and go, "This is not going to change"?
Okay.
This is permanent. I mean, that's my is that a possibility?
Well, I mean, are you asking is it okay for him? Are you saying like so he should cheat on his wife because hey, it's over? What are you saying? You know, we're recording this, right, Joe?
Well, no. What I'm saying, are we supposed to be looking at this and seeing this as a breaking point for Tom?
Oh, I see. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we have. I don't think the show has let us have any investment in Tom as an individual other than him being dreamy. You know, I think that there's no investment in like no one gives a shit about Tom. Like what's good old Tom gonna do or poor Tom? Like the show.
It's frustrating because they built him up so much as being something that he's not.
Well, that's my point. I mean, people are invested in Tom as a spy or as a bad guy or as a potential whatever he may be. But no one, to your point, Joe, I don't think anyone is invested in Tom as a character. In other words, no one sort of feels like, yeah, poor Tom. How's Tom going to react to this? And Tom should be a father. And that Tom is a swell guy. Like, we don't have that. So to answer your question, I don't know. I think for the device of the show and what the point of view of the show is, it's just showing that Jolene is going to be effective in getting close to Tom. For whatever reason, she wants to get close to Tom for, whether that be surveillance or information or whatever else. But that's kind of what it seems to me. I don't think we're supposed to be empathetic of Tom in his bad marriage. I think we are supposed to be empathetic of Lizzie. You know, I think. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, this episode really proved her to be a lackluster wife. You know, right. She's never there when they...
she's solving crimes.
She's constantly taking a phone call, in the middle of very important decisions, life decisions, arguments, conversations.
Someone's going to do it.
Oh, wait, let me get this real fast. Sorry, I'm doing a podcast, but you know, someone's calling me.
Well,
Hold on one second.
It could be red. If it was red, I would stop the podcast.
If it was red, you would stop the podcast.
I would.
I mean, I do. I feel for the guy.
Right.
He's constantly trying to bend to her ways and make the marriage work. It makes me forget that Red says that he was having an affair with Xana Tacos. It makes me forget that he had a box of passports and money and guns.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, if he's this super spy like Red is having would have us believe. First of all, why would he be so dumb as to enter into an extramarital affair with someone who is a super spy? Right. Don't you think he'd be able to sniff that out?
I mean, that's a good question.
I mean, he's still a man. You know, these guys, dudes are dumb.
And on top of that, he is so unbelievably affected by everything that Lizzie does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, another stab wound.
Right.
Oh, yes. My heart. Oh, Tom. Oh, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. And he wants this child so badly. He's pushing for this child. He wants Lizzie to stay home.
The spy baby.
The spy baby to stay home.
Yes.
Why all that hoopla if he's a bad guy?
True.
You know?
That's interesting.
But it still leaves it open to maybe he's there to protect her.
Yeah,
in that
could
sense,
be that. And maybe that's why Jolene is there. I mean, what is becoming apparent to me is I really don't get the impression that Tom means Lizzie any harm.
No.
So whether or not he is who he says he is, I mean, maybe he's there to protect her. Maybe he's there to whatever. Maybe he is a guy who genuinely maybe started as one thing, fell in love with her, and found himself in this position. Maybe he's being blackmailed. Who knows? But I don't think whatever Tom turns out to be, and he's going to turn out to be something other than a friggin' teacher from Nebraska. But, like, whatever he is, I think he doesn't mean Lizzie any harm. So Or, you know, maybe it's a situation where Tom was put in place and it's going bad for Tom, and so they send in Jolene to maybe, you know, make sure that things are going, how this, the surveillance is going properly. And Lizzie, I have no idea, but it's, I think that whatever is Tom's in-game will be, it'll be something to do with, like, him being on Lizzie's side.
Yeah.
But he's not who he says he is, I don't think. I don't know, Joe?
What about you, Flippo? You always had the stance that he was a super bad guy.
I don't trust Tom on principle. But this episode is really throwing me off.
It's the sweaters.
It's because they upped the... What's that?
It's the sweaters, right?
It's the damn sweater.
He's too good looking to be trusted. Yeah?
No one wears that many sweaters.
Oh, he's, you know, it's all right. Let's go.
Does the man not have a collar in his closet? Anyway, but here's what I was going to say. I think this episode, by them upping the stakes so much and reminding everybody, hey, there's a baby. Here's a baby shower. Here's this guy putting a diaper on. Isn't this... This is a real thing that's going to happen in 6 weeks. Right. Then it really, really, really shines the light on them as a couple. And then it's not just about a couple, because a couple, you can go, okay, you screwed up, but you're an adult. You left an adult alone for X number of hours. Who gives a shit? But it's a baby. You can't do that. You can't play that game with a kid. So it really shined a light on it to me. And you guys, we said something a few minutes ago. Are we supposed to empathize with Liz or with Tom? And this is ultimately my point about that lady who said, who was talking about how mom needs to be home with the kid. I feel like we're always supposed to be empathizing with Liz, and I think that's kind of how it's shot. And that scene in the bedroom where she was kind of like, well, you know, you left me out there, you tanked me out there, you know, where she was basically saying, why wouldn't you back me up? You're wrong. That's why. Right. And that's a tough spot for those of us who've been watching the show and are kind of being, you know, kind of, we always empathize with Liz, but there's a new baby coming in. I can't empathize with you on this. I can't back you on this. You need to make some changes or this kid can't come.
Right.
And so I think it's a bigger deal than a side plot. I think this is kind of a big deal for them as a couple.
I tend to agree with you. I'm still just sort of hung up on this idea that, you know, Tom, for good or for bad, is really invested in this baby situation, whether he is a, you know, super spy or is who he says he is or isn't. He's super invested in this baby. So, for whatever reason, he's pushing for that, whether it's genuinely, let's have a baby, I'm in love, or whether it's a spy baby or whatever, but it's something that he's pushing for. So I don't know. We'll soon see, I suppose. It'll be interesting to find out how this plays out.
I just got a prediction from one of our fans out there.
Uh-oh.
From Ron and Shelley.
Uh-oh. Hi, Ron and Shelley.
That their prediction is that Red is the father of the surrogate baby.
Red's the father of the spy baby. It's a spy baby.
It's a good one.
I'm telling you, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good prediction, Ron and Shelley. I like that one. That's I don't know why. And maybe, who knows?
Okay. Mind blown.
Spy baby. All right, I'm telling you, number 39 on the list, the baby. All right, so let's talk about Red. Right. Let's talk about Red in a little bit. We didn't really see much of Red this episode, did we? Like this was a Red. He's the main character, but it felt like, you know, he popped in. We saw, you know, his whole sort of like underground high tech, you know, data mining operation that he has that he's bankrolling. Which was very cool, and they found the bags and bags and bags and bags and bags of shredded material that he's like, okay, put them together. You know, walked off to have another glass of Bordeaux, whatever he does. That was kind of cool.
What he said? What did he say? I hate something, but I love puzzles.
Right.
What was it? Oh gosh, I wrote it down. I don't remember. But yes, I hate sarcasm, but I love puzzles.
Yes. Yeah. He, a lot of good red lines.
A lot of good red lines in this one. That is the ultimate puzzle. Can you imagine how daunting that would have been?
Yeah. And he did have at least two glasses of wine in this one and a nice meal. Nice, like something. So he's back to being like, even though he's still in revenge / house cleaning / fact finding mode, he's still going to enjoy a nice,
well, yes,
you know,
life's little luxuries.
Yes, exactly. But so Red, but he very much seemed, there was a couple little quips and lines he had to Lizzie, like, you know, what am I on your speed dial, and
yeah,
a couple quips that he had. But he was pretty like all business this episode. He was pretty much on a mission.
He was very focused, mm-hmm, on finding out who the mole was, and also he was came across to me as something of a mentor, as a teacher to Lizzie, because she was flailing. They didn't know what to do, how to find this alchemist.
Sure.
And he was giving her ideas. Think of it this way. Because we forget, I think, that he was an FBI agent. Yeah. He did this for a living.
This is kind of like his role at this point is to sort of like, here's the blacklister. You go do your FBI stuff. Give me your clues and evidence. I'll help you, solve this mystery or puzzle and then get it back to you. This seems to be the role.
But I like how he's not just giving her the answers.
Right.
He's like, think about it this way. What if you thought about this? And he's sort of guiding her.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think of it. I wonder if that's intentional or if that's like he, if he, needs her brain too. He's like, I don't know what the answer is, but maybe think of it this way. Or is it like more in the Yoda way, like, I don't know, use your whatever,
This one seemed intentional to me.
Yeah, like he's leading her. Joe, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Am I the only one that watches this show every now and again kind of going, Jesus, how does the FBI catch anybody?
Yes.
If Red doesn't give them like here's a crumb. You seriously? You need another crumb? Okay, here's another crumb.
Yeah.
I agree.
With a gigantic amount of contempt Red has, he's like, ugh, FBI are so dumb. Did you try the alternate number? Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks, Red. We solved it. Yeah.
It's hilarious because all it takes is two lines from him, too.
Yeah.
Well, where does he live? Well, what does he care about? Oh, that's right.
Ding, 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 light bulb.
Where does he live? Check his house.
Someone should write this stuff down.
Yeah, no. There's a bit of that. But, that's still fun. It's still fun TV.
I don't know. It is fun TV, but it really paints the FBI as being completely inept.
For sure.
Honest to goodness. Like, we've got a really big, clear plastic thingy-dingy that's bulletproof.
Right.
What else do you do? That's it. That's what we got. Otherwise, it's all on red.
That's true. Red's definitely on a mission. We get in the previews that he's looking at the VICAP thing, so we know that's a connection to Jolene.
Mm-hmm.
We see him doing the data mining to find the mole. Like you said, he's taking it out of the FBI's hands and not leaving it to them. I like that he's not fucking with the FBI anymore. He's like, he's laying back in the cut. He's not gonna go in there because he doesn't trust anybody. And frankly, if a black side is, compromised like that, at that level, I'm not exactly wanting to step foot in that place either, he seems to just be all business this episode, including at the end when his whole purpose of giving up the alchemist was to get that list. So he has a list which includes, I'm sure, more blacklisters and more people who to serve whatever purpose his master purpose of actually giving this information to the FBI in the first place. He has more access to that. And, I don't know. Red, he's off and looks like he's going to go off and have a nice big bowl of guacamole.
Jeez, there it is.
With me. All right.
Well, he was very interested in getting that list.
Yeah.
That list of all the people who we all presumed were dead but aren't because the alchemist just made it look that way. So perhaps he needed that list. Perhaps he's looking for someone specific.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Joe?
I don't know.
The riveting analysis as always. The three of us.
Right.
How am I supposed to know?
Let's. What about the alchemist? We talked briefly about him in the open. Is he a true blacklister? I mean, we always have this thing about he has a number on the list, but it's hard. Sometimes we get information from other people. Sometimes Red throws someone out. Sometimes they're already working a case. But I guess he's a blacklister. I mean, I don't know.
I think he's a total blacklister.
All right.
What, Joe?
I got the vibe that our boy Red was kind of pissed off. Like, he keeps getting contracts to disappear people that would usually go to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Competition is fierce.
It's true.
As I recall what he said. So, I mean, this one kind of serves a dual purpose for him. Like, he gets his list, but he also gets the guy who seems to be, getting the work that he would normally get. He's able to get rid of him, too.
Right. I don't know. I mean, we have this whole side plot with the blacklister, with the alchemist of the daughter and the wife he kept. And we saw him, how he does his alchemy to sort of change identities. But, one big FBI WTF, to sort of borrow your phrase, Joe, from another show we do, is, you know, he comes in as the lawyer. It's one of my favorite sort of FBI WTF scenes where he comes in as the lawyer and, you know, the highest, most profile guy we've got in the very non-secure office building in suburban Maryland somewhere. And he just walks right in and gives him a piece of gum and he's out. And the wrestler's like, what's the guy look like? Oh shit, he's in there alone. Like, really?
No credentials needed. No one checks out anything.
Right? Like, yeah.
Just anyone could come on in.
Lindsay's like, yeah, I think we found the guy, the alchemist. He's somewhere. Like, he looks like this. Whoa. Oh, shit. And then they run in there, and he's dead. I don't know.
I don't want to be, I mean, yes, if you're a white guy in a suit, it is, you can basically go wherever you want. That is part of Western life.
Not in my house.
But holy,
I'm kidding.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yes. Yes, very true.
That was FBI WTF to the nth degree.
Yes.
And yes. I'm so glad you brought that up because that was next on my list and it's underlined like 47 times.
I liked that. And then like you cut to like him walking the streets like shoulder shrugging like, that was easy. Infiltrated the FBI.
Right?
Killed the guy. Stick of gum. Now I'm off. You know, but yeah. So that happened. That was cool. No, so anyway, the alchemist is he was an interesting guy. It's like every other time we have these sort of we had, you know, Frank Whaley last week as the fresh faced
good Samaritan
looking blacklister, and then we had a couple weeks ago we had the suburban dad guy who was the what was his deal? He was a weird blacklister I can't remember which one he was, but it was like. Five episodes ago, and he was this really sort of nondescript, like, suburban dad-looking dude, and he did something or other. I can't remember. Anyway, but every now and then we have these sort of, like, normal-looking blacklisters. I like the Anzlo Garricks of the world and the Couriers of the world.
Oh, I do like the Anzlo Garricks
and the Stewmakers of the world.
Yes, those are my favorite.
Let's get some, like, I like these guys.
Yeah.
That's a blacklist for me. I don't know. I don't want some guy that looks like Joe Flippo on the blacklist, you know.
Joe, are you a black?
Well, we know not to trust him.
That's true. That's for damn sure. That's for sure. Okay, so let's Stewmaker. So let's talk about what we think and what we saw from the previews and kind of what we think is happening. It's very clear now that Red is going to make a deal with Agent Mole and
Mira Malik.
Yes, with Mira and try to do what do we think? Like, what are they getting to? I mean, there's something like you can put a bullet in my head, or you can work with me to find out whatever.
Well, how much does she really know? I guess is what we need to learn first and foremost.
Right.
What Red needs to know: how much do you know?
Sure.
Do you know? I mean, we don't know anything. Let's be honest. So I can't. Like, does she know who he's working for?
I gotta tell you, at this stage of the game in episode 12 of The Blacklist, a show I still love very much, the one thing that I know is I don't know shit.
I don't know anything.
I don't know what Red's doing. I don't know. Red has his own agenda. It's either to protect Lizzie, to, expose her, or to, I don't know what his deal is. He has an agenda with The Blacklist. It's either to eliminate them or to lure out a larger threat. Or limit competition, or retribution, or I don't know what his whole deal is. We have the FBI, like, you know, Wrestler was on a strike team to try to kill Red for a long time, and so he had a little secret pass there. I don't know what the hell Tom is doing or not doing. Jolene's in there watching someone hired by someone else who I don't know. Lizzie is, you know, she wants the baby, she doesn't want the baby. You know, she's on Red's side, she's off Red's side. I don't know. Harold's still angry and yelling about stuff. And I don't know what the heck is going on.
None of it adds up.
You got any answers for me, Jeff?
We also have the whole Alan Alda's character.
And Alan Alda's in the shadows.
And
like,
he's a big-time government guy.
Yeah, he's fairly high up there. I mean, I don't know. This is actually a great place to be from a storytelling standpoint that we've had 12 episodes of a lot of cool stuff happening. It's really kind of a testament to the writing, I think. And, like, a lot of stuff happening. And not unlike Lost, every answer you get three more questions.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not frustrating yet. I'm not frustrated. I feel like, okay, well, I know nothing. But, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get some answers and know something soon. I don't know, Joe. What do you know? Do you know anything? You know more than
I don't know anything. We've covered this.
No. Do we have any theories, any ideas?
Well, you know, I think that I wonder if the show is going to go back to its overarching. It seemed to be the overarching kind of theme for the first couple episodes was that international corporate combination with government, which seemed to be the place where most of the bad stuff was happening with the first few blacklisters.
Right.
And I'm hoping that Alan Alda becomes kind of the linchpin for that. It seems to me that if he's sitting on a committee that's going to be speaking before the Senate, but at the same time he's got access to all this money and access to all these mercenaries and all these underground people, I wonder if he's not that kind of in that linchpin spot in between corporate and government, and that's going to be kind of where the real bad people live. I'm kind of curious if that's going to be our if he's going to be our kind of connection to all of that. I hope they go back to that. If that makes sense.
I agree with you. He's just too high up and too powerful just to be a one-off. And I mean, he went to all of that trouble, mm-hmm. you know, in securing. I guess he's the one who secured Mira as the mole.
Sure.
And our guy Gray.
Right.
You know, all that whole thing was to get a face to face with Red.
Right.
That whole hoopla, that whole two-parter Ansel Garrick blacklist episodes.
Yeah.
That was the culmination of it. Was to capture Red and get that face to face with him.
Yeah. It's a lot of layers here. I mean, we have layers. It's a lot like Inception. Like, you know, we have the subconscious and the conscious and the deeper and deeper layers that are there. Hey, Joe, you know who directed Inception?
I'm sorry, Mr. Nolan, who?
No, Christopher Nolan.
Oh!
See what I did there?
All right. I see what you did.
Really bad. I'm done. All right, so
you're never done.
I don't have any news. Do we have any news?
No.
I have no news or gossip.
I have no news. And that's Nando. That's what Nando usually does.
I know. But I do know that the ratings are fine. The show's fine. Everyone loves it. Yeah. I've got no particular news, but I will say, I did not thank all of you for joining us on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
Darn it. Thank you for joining us on iTunes. You continually make us highly ranked, highly rated. We're always in the top two or three here, the most downloaded thing on iTunes. And we appreciate that. And we have our loyal blacklist fans, our loyal blacklisters, blacklistees. And, we'll continue to, you know, have our chats on YouTube as we often do and our chats on Twitter, and we really appreciate all you guys, and just continue to, like, you know, to talk about us and rate us on iTunes, because it helps people find us and it's great stuff. So thank you very much.
You know what was awesome is that we on top 100 iTunes, we without even being out our last podcast, it was out for less than 24 hours, and we were already in the top 25 and just continued climbing.
That's great. Yeah.
So the top, you guys
well,
are
top
awesome.
200 technically. So out of 200 TV film podcasts, we were number 20 at one point, which is not bad.
Yeah.
So that's
I don't
good.
Know where we're on now, but.
Oh, thank you. And at AfterBuzz, we're always in the top, I don't know, three or something. So thank you guys.
Yeah, you guys are the best.
All right. Well, let's jump into some predictions.
Last.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Joe Flippo, who would you like to go first?
My prediction
okay.
is that our boy Tom is not going to have the sex with Jolene.
Okay.
Okay.
However, I do think our boy Tom is going to be moving out in the next two episodes. That is my prediction.
You don't think he's going to have the sex with Jolene? She was hotter, would he maybe do it?
Now you're gonna make me feel bad. I thought it was interesting, Cassie. That's all I was trying to say.
Okay.
But
I think she's very attractive, actually, especially towards the end there at the art gallery. Yeah. I thought she was very attractive. So for the record, I'm on record. I'm with you, Jolene.
You've never seen that before, a girl taking a drink and looking at you over the cup. You've never seen that, so it was new to you.
Yeah.
But
Julia, prediction for you?
Let's see. I'm gonna go with I'm gonna talk about Wrestler here for a minute.
Okay.
So Wrestler's reunited with his long lost love, but I think this is going to bite him in the ass in a huge way. I don't think she is who she's presenting herself as, and I think he's gonna let his guard down, and I think something bad's gonna happen to him. To my boy Diego.
Ooh, I like that prediction. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's
Thank
a good
you.
One.
I'm getting better.
I do agree with that prediction. I feel like that we've set up Wrestler as this sort of hard ass, blah, 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 and now he's kind of softened. I'm just going to add to your prediction in that I do think that, like, this is going to bite him in the ass and he will, like, be like, I let my guard down once and it'll never happen again. But that's just only setting up the inevitable romance with Lizzie, who will melt his heart and they will, you know, be together.
Fall madly in love.
Yes, they will.
And adopt him 12 children.
And one of them a spy baby.
The spy baby.
They'll take the spy baby. So anyway, yeah, I do think that Wrestler and Lizzie Keene are on a bullet train to some spy love.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we'll see. We'll see about that. That's all we got. That's all we got for this week. We made it. Nando will be back in studio next week. Joe Flippo will be in studio next week. Julie and I will be in studio next week. Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me on my website, josephsanflippo.com, or you can find me on the Twitter, at Joe Flippo.
And Julia, where can we find you?
Twitter, of course, JULIACEARLEY, Julia Carley. Also on Instagram, you can find me here at AfterBuzz for True Detective. Maybe the following, probably.
Yeah, sure.
And what am I forgetting?
Hannibal.
Coming back February 28th.
Yep. And you can find me all those places as well, because where Julia goes, I go. Where Joe goes, I go. But you can also find me on Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. And you can also find me on Instagram at Joe Braswell. Even though I never use it, I'm going to start.
I'm the worst Instagrammer.
But my Twitter is active, and thank you very much for following me, folks. I appreciate it.
Follow.
We will thank you, Marissa Serafini, for doing all the good stuff. Nando, we miss you. Oh, you can find Nando at Nando Vell, at Nando Vell on Twitter. He's great. We will see you next week for episode 13. Thanks a lot, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Guacamole.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here. And be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.